coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is an important show. With me is Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com, if you want to contact him. Kind of a wrap-up of this week, but first and foremost on our minds, and this is going to be a relatively abbreviated show, not the full 90 minutes, but 60, but here's the bottom line. The events that are being laid out ahead of us by the people who are in the background, by the power brokers, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we haven't seen anything yet. And just as we had insisted and played videos throughout the week, the attempts to kill all of us, really, but specifically Donald Trump, and to stop the America First movement, to stop the they want to stop what they believe to be MAGA and take out the head of MAGA, and that's Donald Trump, but to stop us. I'm telling you, there will be additional attempts made. Okay, just there's a video that we have that James O'Keefe, Alex interviewed James O'Keefe yesterday. He is also stating that there are going to be a couple of black swan events imminently, and we should pay attention to that. But before we get into anything else, let me bring Randy on, and I want to show something. This is kind of a flashback from Patrick Byrne. Now, he's a publisher of Capital Magazine, and he wrote about this some time ago, and he spoke about this some time ago. But when you look at all of the events happening today, there was a plan in place back in 2015 and 2016. And Patrick Byrne mentions the plan. And he mentions what he did for the three-letter agencies. Now, I do believe this to be completely accurate, and you're going to hear this. You probably heard this or watched this perhaps recently or perhaps some time ago and might have forgotten about this. But I think it's important to kind of wrap up the week of headlines, the month, last month of headlines, and remember what the larger plan was. And of course he mentions the players, some of the players, and I think we could take notes from that particular interview, and I think it's important to remind ourselves what was supposed to happen, what didn't happen, but what they want to have happen again or this time around. I mean, just take the current day and superimpose it over the 2020 or 20, you know, the last election or the election before that, and think about what Patrick Byrne says in those terms. All right, let's bring Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Oh, absolutely. I'll wrap this week up with still tons of questions.
Oh, yeah. And I want to thank those people who have watched you and I, watched me, watched the show this week. And I'm going to thank you for all of the emails and contributions. Certainly.
Oh, yeah. Amazing feedback, Doug.
Yeah. And here's, I just want to caution people. Look, you know, there are a lot of people out there making certain assumptions. You and I spoke about this. Well, you know what? Before we get into that, let's lay the groundwork for today. Kind of to remind people what happened. You okay with that? This is Patrick Byrne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the show notes, folks, go to HagmanPI.com. And yes, thank you to whoever sent me that email. RT's email address. I have an extra H in the Hagman. I don't know how that happened. And then a period after my email. So by clicking on that, that'll be fixed today. So I apologize for those errors. Again, I don't know how that happened. I guess we're just human and accidents happen. But
It's tough being human, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, I have to say, the tens of people on my staff right now. No, it's just me and, you know, and Eric the Tech. All right. Let's go to video one. And again, this is kind of to remind you of the plan back in 2015, 2016, which really, just watch it. Here it is.
Why they did not, I know what's in the Durham report, and I'm going to say it here. I bribed Hillary Clinton $18 million. I facilitated a bribe for Hillary Clinton on January 14th, 2016, right here in this town. Hillary, on behalf of the FBI, they came to me around December 1st, 2015. They told me Hillary Clinton had accepted a bribe from Turkey for $20 million. They told me that I would be working for a group in New York, FBI agents, who had authorization to set Hillary Clinton up in a sting. They asked me to facilitate a bribe for her, an $18 million bribe from another government. The bag man from that other government I was to befriend, and I was to get that person 10 minutes alone in a room with Hillary Clinton. I did. On January 14th, 2016, Hillary Clinton was in this town, and she met in a way that was kept off her schedule. She accepted an $18 million bribe. General Barr knows this. This is the Durham. They know this was what is behind it all. And I'll even tell you, I'm going to drop one more thing. I've been waiting to say this publicly. And this is what really happened. I will tell you, if you hear this and you give me 90 seconds, your viewers will understand what's happened in the last 5 years in America. I've been waiting to say this on mainstream TV, and they will not have me back because once they understood what this was about. I facilitated a bribe, and she took a second bribe for $18 million. And I worked with the FBI as I did that. They're deeply involved in this. They came to me 3 days later and told me I had to forget about it and forget that it ever happened. And I said, what are you talking about? And they gave me one excuse. They said, Hillary's going to win, and it's been decided upstairs, nothing's going to be able to stop that now. So she's going to win, and she's going to send her people over to the FBI and ask who was part of investigating Hillary, and any of us who were part of it are going to be destroyed, and that includes you too, Patrick. And so this mission has been scrubbed from the highest level. And I thought about that, and I said, yes, sir, and I came. But 2 or 3 weeks later, I was back with three federal agents this time. Three federal agents, and I let them know that wasn't sitting correct, and this is in Salt Lake City, Utah, and that wasn't sitting well with me, and I'd like to know why. We had almost a year before the election. They could have had me and another person in front of a grand jury in a week and gotten her indicted, and they told me, and this is the key to understanding what's happened in America. They told me, this is word for word, Patrick, what's really going on is this. President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy at this point, but especially the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing's going to change that. But think of there being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. That evidence about the two bribes you were part of gathering is going to be sitting on the Bunsen burner. And the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary's a good girl and defends Obamacare, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and thinks for herself, it's going to get turned up high. That way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's president, and then she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan. That came out of the lips of a federal agent. It was confirmed to me this spring. The Durham investigation that plan was called the Operation Snow Globe. That was Brennan Obama's name for it. They were trying to get Hillary to step into a snow globe. I'm looking for a prop. A snow globe that anytime they wanted, they could then pick up and shake for 8 years. My bribe was the bait to get her to step into the snow globe. That's all from it. This isn't a theory. I'm the guy in the room. I'm acknowledging I took part in all this, and I thought I was helping them conduct federal law enforcement. It turned out that I was helping them set up Hillary Clinton for a deep state to control her. And I came in public a year ago with some pictures that showed me with this Russian redhead, Maria Butina, lovely woman, that said, and so I'm saying this entire thing, this last 5 years, has been a coup. It was from Obama against Hillary, that when Trump won in a fluke, it got morphed into the Russian collusion delusion. And I say that as the guy they had romancing Maria and bribing Hillary Clinton. So I'm about as involved in this as you can get, and I promise you that's exactly what happened. And what we're seeing here is the last act play out. I was the last act play out. And the reason I mentioned that I knew in October 2018 that this was going to happen was because in 2018 I was offered, a federal agent came to tell me, Patrick, you need to understand there are billionaires walking around this world that we made, and we're prepared to do the same for you. You just have to stay calm. You just have to stay quiet through the election. And by that election, I knew he meant 2020 election. So I've known that they were going to hijack this election since October of 2018.
All right. So that was kind of a flashback, and that was posted by the Liberty Daily, and it reminded me of things that we're seeing today. I think you could take that template and apply it to Biden. I think Obama had a real big influence in, well, I know, big influence in Biden's decision not to run again, obviously. However, the complication of his cognitive decline was pretty evident. But what the Obama-Harris relationship, I'm not so sure that's going to be, I'm really not sure. Although I believe that they can't really get out of this without breaking the law, but when has that ever stopped them before of a Harris candidacy? So I think Obama right now is sort of stuck, and his handlers above him are sort of stuck with a Harris candidacy. The reason I bring this up with RT is, Randy, I'm looking at the situation, and I'm seeing, okay, how does, for example, if that was to be the case and that failed, what would they do to prevent a second Trump presidency? You know, and I believe that assassination attempt fits in there. All of the lawfare fits in there. But now what are they going to do henceforth? Any thoughts on this?
Are they going to try it again?
Yeah.
They'll absolutely try it again. This isn't over by a long shot. That's a terrible choice of words. This isn't over by a long shot. Gee.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just realized what I was. Sorry. It's a long way from being over. We're dealing with some of the most powerful people in the world.
I totally agree.
They can buy anybody. They can bribe anybody. They can blackmail anybody.
Yes.
And they can even take someone that wouldn't be a willing participant and turn them into one. And then you start adding in the dangerously smart people that we were discussing yesterday.
Yes.
You throw them into the mix, and it gets real scary. It's going to be a real, real scary ride from today to voting day.
And then from voting or from election day to the inauguration.
It's going to be something.
To your point. Okay. And this is really, I think, the only other video we have. To your point, James O'Keefe was talking with Alex yesterday, Alex Jones. And he is looking forward. Alex asked him, you know, what do you see taking place here in the next, well, in the immediate future? And he had given some of his thoughts, and they're the same as ours, but he gets a little bit more specific, I think. And I'd like you to take a look at this, and then from here we can move forward and more or less recap what we've already done, but also we do have some additional commentary on some of the videos and such that have been sent to us, and also some of the information that is being put out there. So we'll go to the O'Keefe interview brief. I think it's like 4 minutes with Alex Jones, and then your commentary after that. We'll drill down into what we have talked about this week. Go ahead, AJ Video.
I think the evidence is overwhelming. There's a stand down. I don't know if you guys are doing any investigations into that. If so, let us know. As soon as you're about to break it, we want to push it hard. But in the few minutes we have left, go back in and flesh that out, because I really respect your analysis and your sources. You're saying multiple black swan events in the next 90-something days. Give us some of your ideas and what they may be planning.
Thank you, Alex. And I appreciate your audience, because we have a lot of sources that come to us at OMG. And we've had Secret Service agents come to us, Border Patrol agents, FBI agents, and all these people are kind of on the precipice of blowing the whistle. And they're rightfully afraid because they're going to give up their livelihood, their pension, if they say the thing that they know, but they don't want to say. So Black Swan event just means I forgot the name of the book that was originally quoted as talking about that. But in politics, everyone wants to predict the future. And my point is that all bets are off. The day before Trump was assassinated, I was having dinner with a guy in L.A. and he asked me what I think is going to happen. I said, there's going to be a Black Swan event. It's going to throw the whole thing into a state of flux. And literally in the next week or two, Trump was shot and Biden dropped off. So I think you're going to have two more things like that happen between now and November. And I don't know what they are. It could be some war. It could be a famine. It could be someone gets killed. But you're going to see that happen, and that's going to throw everything into a state of flux. Therefore, all bets are off. And the second part of that is whistleblowers. I am telling you, there is an explosion of people right now on the inside. And I know that because they message me. And they trust me, but I have to figure out a way to give them life after whistleblowing. And I'm working on it, whether that's some type of lump payment. There's an employee network of people that hire them. We've got to figure out a way to protect and nurture the people who are Secret Service agents, FBI agents, CIA agents. Yeah. Yeah. We got to figure that out because I'm telling you, there's something happening on the inside of these institutions. People have a conscience. They want to do the right thing. But they're going to get their lives destroyed for saying the truth. So that's what I'm currently working on.
Well, I would tell them this. Look at the political climate. Keeping your head down, covering your asses. We're going to lose civilization. We're going to have nuclear war. We're going to have a totally collapsed country. So it's gotten so dangerous now. They've got to do what I've done, what you've done. I've been on your show before, and you talk about the fact that we put our lives on the line here. We're totally committed. And that's the attitude people have to have. And if society just gets that attitude again, then we can turn this around.
Yeah, and I was in Capitol Hill yesterday meeting with various lawmakers to figure out what the congressional protections are. The challenge is there aren't a lot of legislative protections. It's really more media. So, OMG O'Keefe Media, we do the swiper thing. You can go out, get paid to do stories. And I have Citizen Journalism Foundation, which is now tax deductible, by the way. Thank God the IRS gave me that. And we're going to start giving grants out to whistleblowers if they blow the whistle. If you're watching this program, and I know that you have a great audience, some really good, faithful people, God-fearing people, and you work for one of these institutions, you can message us, and we will talk to you. We have a whole room of people right now responding to people, particularly ActBlue, Alex, is another thing.
Yeah, give us 60 seconds. People follow that, but people that don't know about ActBlue, you've caught them red-handed, looks like laundering money.
FEC money, FEC data shows that people who can't afford to are giving hundreds of thousands of dollars, thousands of times. So it appears to be a money laundering scheme. We believe the money is coming from Europe or Asia and through Stripe. And we're trying to get to the bottom of this. And we have an explosion of people, including at least one insider inside ActBlue. We have a mole inside ActBlue that told me where their conference is, the names of their employees. So I'm just saying that it's 10 to 100 times what it was a year or two ago. These explosion of people on the inside, we got to nurture that. That's the future. It's going to require sacrifice.
I just want to make sure that people caught that ActBlue, and of course the election interference, the the funding.
We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
If you know something, if you're working on these organizations, or you know something, contact us.
You know, and people are, but the problem is, like he said, people are concerned because once they do that, it's over.
Yeah.
And we've got nothing to offer them.
No, we don't. And I wouldn't even attempt an offer like that. You do it because you want a clean conscience.
Precisely. And there are more people now attempting to come clean than ever before. Go ahead.
It's hard to live with things. Take it from one who knows.
Yeah.
It's hard to live with things. You guys don't know. No, you don't want those demons.
And they are demons indeed. Well, what he said too about additional Black Swan events, at least two, between now and the end of or election day. I do suspect that we have unrest, of course, overseas. Is South and Central America that we've seen. I mean, there's nothing that is stable right now. We have a AWOL guy in the White House that's nothing but a baked potato. And you got cackling Kamala out there on the circuit. And then this real big push to eliminate Donald Trump and all of us, conservative Christian patriots. So your best guess, RT, Randy, based on past, and especially when you think about what Patrick Byrne was talking about, 8 years of Hillary steps aside, Michelle Obama comes on board. That was the plan that was relayed to him.
They may throw her on the ticket at the DNC this year.
You know,
the national convention. And all bets are off. I mean, come on. They're making decisions in the White House without any input from the voters.
Well, the DNC, I mean...
just doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Kamala Harris is a candidate, and she wasn't even... She didn't receive one vote.
No, and the transfer of funds from Biden to her. I mean, there's got to be some laws in here somewhere. There's got to be some stipulations, but they're just like, whatever, we'll do whatever we want. They're like Trudeau up in Canada. I'll just do whatever the hell I want, you know. I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And nobody's calling these people out. Nobody's laying down and saying, no, you know, putting their foot down and saying, no, absolutely you will not. People are afraid. You know, or they don't know how to go about it. But this is all leading to, this is going, when this pimple pops, oh my Lord, it's going to be a mess. You ain't seen nothing yet.
There's gonna
be more assassination attempts. It's the Secret Service and all. I mean, Trump's gonna need more security than just the Secret Service, is what I think. That's personally what I think. And I don't think it's necessarily gonna be another event. They tried that, they failed. He flies around in a jet. He drives around in vehicles. He lives, you know, in Florida. Every one of these things presents a target.
Yes.
And that's scary. That's scary. I told him, my old man, I said, son, if they want you dead, you'll be dead.
And we have foreign assets in this country, compliments mm-hmm. of Biden Harris, of course, and the Chicago DNC convention in Chicago. Michael Yon was talking about this. In effect, he might have gone public on this. One of the reasons there's this big push for a virtual convention, or there was, and perhaps there still is. But Michael Yon, let's see here. Saying that there's more than 1,000 known TDA members. That's a foreign Venezuelan gang, if you will, in the U.S. and have been given the green light to fire and attack law enforcement. And one of the cities, especially, is Chicago. And one of the targets, and I'm just bringing this out here, one of the targets could very well be the DNC. Okay, so I mean, make of that what you will.
I mean, look at what we've seen on film with the people piling into this country. We don't know who they are.
No,
we have no. Then those could be special forces from a foreign country that are capable of just about anything. We don't know what these clowns, these asses in Washington, have allowed into this country. They have jeopardized, and you know what'd be so ironic is they let them in, and then somebody shows up at the DNC to start whacking politicians. Wouldn't that be some irony? Wouldn't that be irony at its best?
Yeah. I think back to 1968. Of course, I was quite young. That DNC with the violence both inside and out, you know, punches being thrown. Mm-hmm. It was a brokered open convention. punches on the inside being thrown, and then the riot police on the outside and National Guard and such.
And don't you think possibly, Doug, that these people they've been letting in, they've been housing, they've been feeding and giving cards to, and, you know, bankrolling. Don't you think that they're going to come into play before November?
Yes, I think absolutely. They are. Yeah.
Whatever's on the burner, folks, has been moved to the front burner. These people are desperate. That move on Trump was a desperate move. We predicted it. Absolutely predict. Why? Because we, if you sit down and you weigh everything, we literally knew months ago that they were running out of options. And no matter what they do, they have to have that, what do you call it, plausible deniability.
Yes.
That's so important in these things. They pushed it on the Trump thing, plausible deniability, because every one of their asses are on a burner right now. But listen, the guy that runs DHS and all these agencies fall under his umbrella is a dangerous, dangerous, and creative individual.
I agree.
It's like being up against Satan himself.
I couldn't have said that any better. Now, because of a limited time, let me ask you a question. You and I have been working on various aspects of the assassination attempt because we do know a couple of things. Number one, the narrative being given to us by the feds, obviously, is not correct. What they want us to believe and what the truth is is separated by a lot of real estate. All right. So we know that. So we are left with attempting to do the investigation as investigators, not as citizen journalists or citizen investigative journalists, but as investigators, which is our profession.
Without the resources that the federal government has.
Exactly. But what have you seen? Because we have people sending
us... What we were talking about before the show?
Please, yeah. Let's discuss that, because that's a big problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. One thing I noticed right away, okay? And what drew my attention to it and kind of, I'm going to say, made me biased against what we're seeing is the day of the shooting, and I don't remember what channel it was, but they had quickly thrown up a rendition, okay? Like a 3D kind of image. And they had the original shooter sitting in a building that would have been facing Trump that didn't exist. And they had it circled and said shooter. And I jumped up and I was trying to get my camera to take a picture of the television screen. And I was telling my wife, look, honey, look, look. And she missed it. But I was trying to explain that. So what that did, it made me immediately now cautious against any computer-generated renditions of that area. Okay? You want to give me a satellite photo? We're in business. Okay? However, and you can even manipulate a satellite photo. The thing that I'm seeing is subtle, minute movement in diagrams presented to fit a narrative. Okay?
Folks, think about that.
And stop and think about what I'm saying to you. Somebody throws up a diagram, draws a line from here to there, and it's supposed to be shooting at Trump. That's what that line represents. And then you go to the next one, you're going to notice subtle differences like the building moved, angles of where the magnetron was, angles of the bleachers. There's certain things that even afterwards remained in place. And I was looking at those, and those to me were far more accurate, was like the walkway that Trump walked out on. That's in perfect right angles.
You went, Eric the Tech, can you throw that up on screen or not? I mean, it's up to you. Okay, so give us an example here. And radio listeners, you can go to our Rumble channel, please.
Let's go to the second one first.
All right.
Like we did this morning.
All right.
And folks, I want you to look closely here. Now, all right, perfect. Thanks, Eric. Now you look at the bottom. You see the bleachers, which haven't moved since then, I'm quite sure. Okay? The way they're lined up and lined up with the other bleachers. Look where the magnetron is. Okay.
The screen.
Yeah, the screen. The screen. Remember Trump when he was talking, when the shots, he was talking and he was looking over and he was pointing at a magnetron and he'd just been doing that a few seconds before and he was putting up, I think it was the amount of people that had snuck in the country. Illegals. And so he's putting it up as it was a prop. And boom, he's talking about that. All right. And when you look here and you look at the magnetron, where it's at in that photo with the green circle around it, look at how Trump's head would have to have been, where it would have had to have been positioned to look at the magnetron. Okay? Keep that in mind now. So if you, and now go to the next, the other picture, and the way we came up with this and verified it, you can see right here, he's looking at that corner. He's looking across that corner where the walkway meets the stage, two right angles. He's looking directly at the magnetron. He's directly pointing at it. Okay? Go back to the other photo. Now, if you do that and you look closely down there, and Crooks, and I'll say this in this photo, the position of Crooks is very good. It's very close. Close enough for what we're doing. All right?
Okay.
If that's the case, there's no way he could have hit Trump's ear. Okay, that kid, and I said this yesterday, if he fired, he didn't hit Trump. Remember I said this yesterday? That was based on roofline, ridgeline. This is even better. Throw this into the mix. Just look at the angle. Remember, Trump's looking back at a magnetron. His head would have been turned. The bullet would have literally had to pass through Trump's right eye to hit his ear.
Now, you and I have discussed this, and this is just but
in
one
my,
example.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I like about this is a satellite photo. The building didn't move. The walkway is still there. You know what I'm saying? So these things are fixed. Now, you go flip to some of the drawings we've been looking at, okay, and you'll notice subtle differences. The building moves a little bit. The angle of the building moves a little bit, okay? The water tower isn't exactly where it should be. When you start looking at things like that, that can really throw you off, especially if you just take it as gospel that, oh, yeah, okay, that's the drawing. Your memory locks that in. And any decisions you look at, anything you look at after that, you're going to base back on those first things that you first saw. Human nature.
And this is not 1963 where they'd have to go through a lot of lengths to address the, or to,
absolutely,
you know, with the LMO and stuff from Kennedy.
And what the reason they're doing this, in my opinion, is to make it fit narratives, to fit fields of fire, to fit line of sight. All I'm saying is, and I'm not, just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Because I spotted that, and it was pissing me off. Because I'm trying to analyze things, and buildings are moving. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? You know? That tree wasn't there. You know what I mean? You start looking at these different things, and you're like, so when you look at what we just said, now, where'd their shot come from?
Well, and again, we just had a video. We'll throw this video up now. Yeah. This reportedly, and this is another thing too. A video was released. It was shown on Fox News yesterday, and this is of reportedly now. Because can we, you and I, verify this? No.
Nope.
Except we were told that this is a video taken by one of the injured rally goers by the name of Copenhaver. He took this video, and this it was released to the public, wouldn't you know? But two things about that bother me. Number one, it was released by the FBI.
Okay. Ooh.
It was released by the FBI. But number two, what wasn't released, especially, this is critically important, I believe, was it the full video on, was it from the moment that Copenhaver hit the record button until he went down? No. It was just of this one piece of film. And I've testified in court quite a bit, okay? And sharp attorneys will say, wait a second, show me the whole video that you took. And that might tell a different story. And there's really no reason to crop out maybe the first 45 seconds or the last 45 seconds.
Exactly.
Okay, so keep that in mind. And if we can, we'll play that video now. This was released by Fox. I think it was by Fox, but it was released. It was a new video. We saw this, and it was already being analyzed by other citizen investigators. God bless them. Okay. But this is what was released. Here it is. Now, this doesn't have any video or any audio to it.
Yes.
Now, what are we looking at for the radio listeners, RT?
You're looking. What we're looking at is what Donald Trump was looking at, and that's that first building where this young man was found on top of. The thing, I saw this too, and listen, that kid right there that you're seeing, if you watch this thing loop, okay, it's almost like he's jumping up and down looking for attention. Honestly, yeah, that's the first thing that jumped in my mind. Okay, a sniper, a true sniper, in my opinion, wouldn't have been bouncing around like that, drawing attention to himself. If you're wanting to go in for a kill shot, it's almost like this kid was saying, "Hey, it's me," while there's somebody else fixing to take a shot.
You know, I didn't think of it that way, but
I mean, okay. That was the first thing that jumped in my mind. And you know what was funny? Is on the show yesterday, what did I ask for? The one thing I asked for is, anybody have a video out there? Anybody a video out there that shows him looking over the top of the ridge?
And here it is.
And what, it was like magic. It was like, I was sitting here and I was watching this. And I was like, who's this? Was this done for us? I mean, because we were saying this couldn't have flown. And see, look at this.
I mean, it's
if you go back, the one loop I saw was even further. He was even further to the left, bouncing and jumping up and down. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm getting ready to shoot somebody from here, why would I jump up and down to make snipers aware that, you know, there's counter snipers? Why would you give your position away like that? I would be crawling on my belly on that roof with my face. My tongue would be licking the roof as I crawled to the ridge to get a shot on you. I wouldn't be jumping up and down like that little. You remember Foghorn Leghorn?
No.
That's what that just reminded me. Can we? That's what it reminded me of. I kid you not. I almost, when I saw that, I thought, And let me ask you this. Why did it take so long for that video to come out?
Well, reportedly, it was on the injured man's phone.
And here's the best part. What we just said about Trump's ear, that video just drove our point home.
You know, go ahead. Can you put that up and pause
when he's
the last red circle?
Yeah, when he's furthest to the right, that last red circle, and freeze it, please.
If we can, Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech's like, oh, man, would you...
I'm so tired of killing us, man. I am tired of green circles and red circles.
Oh, yeah, really. The jumping up appears to me to be a kind of an artifact of him running across the roof. That's the way I took it, okay? He was running, sprinting, or whatever. But
look at Trump, okay? Right from there... There's a magnetron. You see where that Fox News is? It's even further to the right.
Right.
The magnetron. Now, okay.
So Trump has a great point. Yeah.
But Trump has to turn, and he's looking at the magnetron when he gets fired at.
He almost has to turn like 100 and,
thank or, you.
110 degrees as opposed to 90.
It would have to pass through his right eye to hit his ear.
Now I see what you're saying on this. Yeah.
But the angle isn't there. And this is what I told you something's making me crazy. And I don't have the fancy software. I don't. It's not that I won't go out and buy it. It's just if I bought it, I wouldn't know how to use it. I don't know who would teach me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we can leave that to the experts.
And my hands. Folks, look at my hands. No, Joe. I have arthritis so bad. Look at my fingers and all. I have no control.
Can we come over and straighten that out for you? That would hurt like yeah. a mama.
Yeah. You know, I've had several offers of that. But I just really can't. I have a hard time navigating a keyboard or even a pen. I really do.
Well, that explains some of the reports I've seen you write. But go ahead. Type, that is. No, I'm joking with you. I think we need to leave that to the experts. I really do.
And when you take that angle that we just showed you,
yeah,
it kind of changes things a little bit from what you've seen, doesn't it? Where buildings are exactly, and doesn't it just change it just a little bitty bit?
Yeah,
to me, and a little bitty bit. Remember this: when you're talking about a rifle shot, okay, back here the rifle shot. Maybe as thick as a piece of paper downrange at 150 meters, that could be an inch.
That's right. That's right.
See what I'm saying? So, folks, yeah. I was saying is please beware and don't. And another thing, there's a thing floating around saying, I want to clear this up right now. There's another thing floating around going, oh, look, Trump's ears fine 2 days later. No, that photograph is not from 2024. Photograph you're looking at is from 2022. His ear didn't miraculously grow and repair itself in 2 days.
Yeah, now there are we have to be careful too. There are multiple photographs of his ear. Okay,
we're seeing. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm seeing photoshops, but like crazy.
Yeah, I am too.
And that's not how. And really. Please don't do that and post it. Please don't do that and open source. Okay, it's not, man. If you can't verify, say I can't verify it. Okay, well, yeah. Of course everybody wants to see the photo, but give us some background on it. You know, anybody. I'm not talking about people. The people that are emailing stuff in, you guys are really good. Okay, you're doing a really good job. I'm talking about on social media. Okay, and out in open source territory. Okay, right. There's a lot of stuff being flipped and flopping, like we said, sometimes to fit narratives, and we just be aware of that. Okay, we have no reason to lie to you. We're not showing this and trying to. You know, I'm just saying we're just trying to do the right thing and figure out who's trying to hurt Donald Trump. You know, that's all we're doing. And we're praying for the Lord's guidance doing that.
And the other thing, too, many people, like JFK, are attempting to make this into a cottage industry. We're not going to do that. We never will do that. It is the effort that we collectively, Eric the Tech, Randy Taylor, myself, what we do is for the love of our country and because we want the truth. That's it.
And for our listeners, and you people deserve the truth. Yes. And as we can uncover it, we're going to present it to you.
Amen to that. All right. Now, with respect to this, and I know, folks, I see on the comments, please review the work of so-and-so. Okay. And there are like five, six names that are pretty consistent. We appreciate that. We have reviewed their work. We are reviewing contemporaneously their work. I'll just throw out a couple of names, or one name. John Collins, for example. Yes, we've got that. We review his work. Okay. The only reason I say that is because, or Mike Adams, or whoever, we are on top of other, I mean, we are looking at other people's investigative work product. That's all I'm saying. Now, if it's yours or something not out there, we'd be interested to see that as well.
If it's in the general mainstream, we've seen it. Yeah. It's these little obscure videos, like one suddenly shows up like that one, you know, with the bouncing sniper on the roof. Thank you. Those are things that I have not seen anywhere until yesterday. And those, you know what I mean? That please keep us because. And if you send a long video and there's a particular mark in it, please say what the minute mark is. Because if you think about all the videos that we get in the course of a day, I don't, it takes more than a week to look at them. So, you know, so if it's a 1 hour video, say, hey, you know, at minute 27, this guy makes a note and says, you know, that's cool. We can go right to it. And it usually saves us a ton of time.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. And we're going to get through this together. They tried to take out somebody that I think is going to do good for the country. And so let's try and keep them alive. And if we can figure out who's doing what, maybe we can do that. Because trust me, if we hit it and hit it right on the head, we'll get it in front of Trump one way or another.
Amen. Yeah, and I do think that there's a huge threat to President Trump. Obviously, you don't have to be even remotely intelligent to understand that. And I suspect that this convention, this DNC convention, is not going to go as necessarily expected. We have to be very, very wary of things around and inside that convention, and some surprises there, I believe.
And I wish no harm to anyone, but someone could get shot at that convention and they're going to blame the far right people. They're trying to set us up. They're trying to sour as many voters as they can.
Oh,
be ready. Be ready for anything, seriously. And don't be overly surprised at anything. It's everything's on the table right now. You know, they'll do what they have to. They're desperate. Desperate.
Do you, okay, so I think at this point in time, we're going to continue to work, obviously, on the attempted assassination of President Trump and the very, very sad death of the fireman and the injuries of the two others. And, so we're going to continue to work on that. To give people a sense of what, where we're at right now, I think, how would you quantify or summarize our efforts between talking with others and the interviews, pretty much everything we've done so far? Where are we at, to give people a summary of where we're at with this? What would you say?
Well, as far as with the Trump,
the Trump
attempt assassination.
Yes.
Where we're at right now is we're still looking. We're not coming out and boldly saying anything. What we just showed you today, we showed you that for a reason, because we're not going to sit here and say, well, this is exactly what happened. No. The only thing I do know for sure out of everything we said today is that those photographs and the films that we had are official. We're using existing things, not anything that we filmed, nothing that we've modified, nothing.
Or okay? Others have... this is all first party as opposed to third party stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
The Grassley documents. Go ahead.
And we still can't say for certain. A lot of people come around and say, this is what happened. He's up. We don't know.
Or you know,
we're still turning.
Or somebody from the window, that, or definitively that was a muzzle flash from the window.
No. I'm really on the muzzle flash. I'm not sure, Doug.
No.
I really am not. And if you ask me, on the muzzle flash, it looks to me that the muzzle flash is flashing in the wrong direction. If I was going to go with the muzzle flash,
you know.
That's my humble opinion. I am not an expert. But at first glance, I was like, what are they shooting at?
Well, and Eric, the tech, I don't know if you want to chime in on the suppressor aspect of this. If you have a heavier or a subsonic bullet, like a 300 blackout bullet cartridge, the suppressor is going to show like an orange glow. Would that be a
say that again?
So if you're firing a subsonic projectile, for example, like a 300 blackout projectile.
Because of friction temperature? Is that what it is?
What's the question?
What would a muzzle flash from a suppressed weapon look like? If you were
usually
straight
on. Like an amber glow.
Okay.
If you're looking right down the barrel. That's, with a good suppressor.
Right.
Not some short, junky one, like a longer, you're talking like seven-inch, eight-inch suppressor.
So it would be more of a...
That's the point of a suppressor.
Yes,
correct.
Fighting, not yes, sound sir. Suppression. You'd care less about sound suppression.
But there you go.
Limiting your visibility to the enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's why they put them on an AR-15 M16. That's a flash suppressor. It's not sound. What Eric just said. It's called a flash suppressor on that model. He's talking about now an extended suppressor on there. And when he says amber glow, and notice what Eric said, if you're looking right down the barrel, you'd have to be dead on.
With from a the good suppressor.
With a right? good suppressor, yes.
But from the side, to see a foot-long flash.
No, it's not coming out.
Thank you.
All right.
And you're talking about three guys here that know a lot about firearms.
Well,
the three of us know an awful lot about them.
I would defer that to both of you as opposed to me. I'm not really a firearms guy. Okay, so.
And even that amber glow staring down the barrel would be so minimal. Like, you'd have to, you'd probably get hit before you saw it.
Yeah. And you're talking in daylight condition. This isn't at night.
Yeah, daylight, you probably won't even see it.
Thank you. See?
Folks, these are things we all have to take into consideration when...
it's right. Yeah. And I won't sign a statement saying that. I'm just telling you, previous experience and what Eric has just explained, I'll vote for that.
And now we are following, okay, I'll just say it. First person witness leads that we have, and thank you to the people who have reached out to this platform. Because again, we could, Eric the Tech and I could fall out of bed and be at that location or be in Butler an hour and 15 minutes, an hour if we were really in a hurry. Now, from first-person accounts, people from that area there who we've spoken to, and I've got to say this, there's a lot of pressure by the feds on these witnesses to keep their mouth shut, and that doesn't set right with me, but there are people that said, look, police ran into a wooded area. They absolutely guarantee they ran into a wooded area. One person said, hey, you know, they took my cell phone, gave it back later, you know, when I say later, I'm talking a couple of hours later, but the file, the photographic file was gone, or the video file was gone off the phone. Okay. But showing police running to a wooded area, showing police running in different directions, one toward the water tower. What was that all about? Okay. Did you see anybody on the water? No, I didn't see anybody on the water tower. Well, why were they running there? Don't know. So
yeah, there was some trying to draw attention to a van that was parked directly under the water tower too.
Yeah. So just to give people an idea, it's more than putting together, you know, artistic renderings or diagrams. That's part of it. But the other part of it is human intelligence and eyewitness accounts. And understanding the eyewitness accounts are, man, if you have five people viewing the same thing, you're going to have five different eyewitness accounts of the same incident. And if you don't, you got a problem. But go ahead.
Attorneys will point out, defense attorneys will point out, often that eyewitness accounts are the worst.
Absolutely the worst.
And people don't understand that. They're like, oh, no way. No, sometimes they're the worst rendition and accounting of what occurred.
And again, that's another thing people need to understand, too. You can have two people say, look, I saw three, four police officers running toward this tree line. Okay, great. But you might have the same two say, well, they were dressed in or they were state police, or they were
They were in black uniforms. Yeah, and the other guy says no, they were blue. You know,
right? But again, the most important part would be okay. We saw them running, or I saw them running to this specific tree line area. Okay, that's fine. The other differences, although minor, I welcome those, because if you have five stories that are identical, man, you better start looking at the witnesses and the corroboration between the witnesses.
You have issues at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because and where the one that I've still been looking for is somebody was pedaling out there, that somebody came down a zip line from a water tower to the trees.
Well,
where's the zip line? I'm pretty sure that we would see some photographs of that, and it would most certainly still be in place.
Well, yeah. I mean, in place when the photographs are taken or videos. Yeah. Taken. Yeah.
You know, yeah, something. So, just be careful, folks, you know. And when you see something, you know, question it. Go back, review it. I mean, what we just said today was the most we've probably said about this on the air. Because we want to present as close to the facts, you know what I mean? We want to be able to defend what we said. And that's, I think, right. When we bring up video like that, and still shots are great. You'll also notice on when we talk about the renditions, and sometimes even when, like, they're doing a direct look at it with like a satellite photo, an aerial photo, they're looking directly at it, not on top of it. In that case, when you're looking at it from the side and you're drawing lines over, it's not telling you much about angle.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You're not getting, in fact, you're getting nothing as far as angle. So, you know, if you're going to, you should present like a top and a side, or something like we did where you can line the bleachers. You know, the bleachers were there for days after, I believe.
They were, yes.
You know, and at least when the photographs were taken, those were that's the position those bleachers were in. That's the position the magnetron was in. And that's the position Trump's walkway was in. So there we have an actual true marker.
Anyway, good point.
It's a starting point.
Yeah, good. That's a good point you make. All right. Now, a couple of things. We have to be watching for the events in Venezuela. And take a look, take a look at that, and look at that as at least in my view, a picture of things to come here in the U.S., because that's what they want. They want that chaos. Any thoughts on that? Here, we only have about 3 minutes left. Two minutes left.
Strategy of tension in full swing, in full play. And this is only going to increase between now and Election Day. And they're going to cheat on Election Day. This is an all-out struggle for the control of this country. It is an all-out struggle for the control of the future.
Also, real quick, the fact that likely Israeli forces took out the Hamas leader in Iran. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
That's a tinderbox sitting right there. That's when it blows over there. Trust me, the repercussions will get dragged into whatever it is.
Yeah, that was one thing. Basically, all of the books about the Middle East and the events since October 7th, the trigger point, just as Syria was a red line for Russia. Iran is a red line for both China and Russia, so you don't want to be engaging directly with Iran. So I'm just saying.
And we're serving under a president that's weakened our forces.
100% weakened.
You know, absolutely weakened our military. Did you see, good news, two of our three battleships have been recommissioned. Not the Missouri, but the other two. And let me tell you what, baby, when a battleship pulls up offshore, you know you're in trouble. Yeah. And they can shoot a round that's the weight of a Volkswagen, like 37 miles.
Punch bug. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're in trouble when they. And why did we recommission them? We're going to war.
And that nothing better would please the globalist. It's crazy. All right, Randy Taylor, thanks for joining me today. I know it was kind
of
it was clunky, but it was necessary to get that out. So
it was good.